Michael is a big guy with a broad face, 5 ear piercings, a lot of tattoos, and silvery swept back hair that he cuts himself. Michael's standard attire is jeans, boots, black t-shirt. He looks a lot like a bouncer, which he used to be, and nobody messes with Michael. Michael's past includes trouble with heroin and time in prison. Today, he maintains his sobriety by steering clear of his old friends. "I am never going through detox again," he proclaims to his former drug buddies. "Stay away from me or I'll hit you." Every Friday, Michael can be found supervising operations in the neighborhood food pantry. Like everyone else who comes to unload pallets of food, organize the groceries, and help the clients fill their bags, Michael is a volunteer. Someone who knows him well calls Michael a born manager, capable of bringing out the best in other people through praising them and through giving them responsibility. When asked why he maintains such a faithful involvement with the food pantry, Michael's answer comes without hesitation. "I like to work hard, that's all," he says. "You might as well do something useful with your life." "I like to work hard, and I want to do something useful with my life." That's Michael's truth, and he speaks it freely. Letitia is a parent liaison at an elementary school, a school with one of the worst performance records in the state. She operates at this school an after-school program out of a trailer that's parked in a yard made up entirely of concrete. Letitia might be described as stylish, fun, steady as a rock, young, and absolutely passionate about bringing order into the chaotic lives of these children that she supervises every day after school, feeding them and helping them to do their homework. Based on the way that she herself was raised, Letitia believes that there is one practice more important than all others which families can and should adopt to make a positive difference in their children's lives. That practice is the family dinner. Eating together, that's it, Letitia explains over and over to anyone within earshot. Eating together is the whole trick. Letitia knows at least one thing, this thing, to be true. And she knows it with her heart, with her mind, with her soul, with all her strength, and she is not about to keep the secret to herself. Letitia is convinced and bound to persuade others, eat your meals together. You'll be doing yourselves and your children an incredible service. Katie is the daughter of a woman whose life partner is another woman. 3.5 years ago, when the city of San Francisco announced that same-gender couples were as entitled to legal marriage as anybody else, Katie was only in her early teens, maybe 13, 14 years old. But she grasped the significance of this announcement immediately. She demanded that Sarah, her mother, and Martha, her other parent, drive her down to City Hall so she could see for herself what was happening. As she looked out of the car window at the long line of excited and tearful couples waiting for their turn to be married, Katie said to Sarah and Martha, "I really, really want you to do this. Please," she begged them, "let's do this." The one true thing for Katie was that her family deserved the same recognition and the same support that other families are routinely granted. She longed for that recognition, in fact, and somehow she knew that it was going to add a level of blessing even beyond the 11 wonderful years that her family had shared together so far. It was going to add an important blessing to the future that was yet to come. Katie's clear and unambiguous declaration of what would be the right thing for that moment prompted Martha and Sarah to park the car and get in line. As it turned out, the ceremony was far more profound for them than they had ever imagined such a ritual might be, and they remain grateful that they followed their daughter's wise counsel. The writer of today's scripture reading, which is in the form of a letter to someone named Timothy, is like Michael, and like Letitia, and like Katie, in that life has taught him something vital and true, and he's fully able, even eager, to articulate that one essential thing. See if you can recognize the writer's core truth as you listen now to these words from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear it? This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. How was the writer convinced of this great truth? Through experience. I was a disaster. I uttered lies about God. I killed God's servants and made them live in fear. But God had mercy on me. God understood that my horrible actions sprang from my ignorance. God reached out to me and revealed God's self to me and gave me strength to turn my life in a new and right direction. The experience being referenced is that of the Apostle Paul, who was on the road to wrongdoing one day when a blinding light knocked him to the ground and the voice of Jesus spoke to him. From that point, Paul's life started over. At first, he had to rely on the kindness and the bravery of others to lead him, to feed him, to teach him. And then gradually, by the grace of God, he became strong again. And now he had a whole new purpose. His mission became to bring the love of Jesus into all the world. He traveled far and wide, eagerly searching for those whose hearts might be open to spiritual truth and telling them everything that he had learned. When Paul could not be someplace in person, he wrote letters. Those who came after him, those who had received the gift of the gospel from him, also wrote letters. Sometimes they even wrote their letters in Paul's name. Those letters were preserved over time, read and reread, copied and recopied. And so today we still have a record of one true thing that has been tried and tested, celebrated and affirmed by people of faith over the centuries, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus knows that it is not the perfect people who need help. It's all the rest of us. God sees the mess we're in. God has mercy on us. God sends Jesus to get us turned around and headed in the right direction. The story is as true today as it's ever been. God is still at work in individual lives, helping people to see what's true, helping them to see what matters most. God is still at work, helping us not only to see the truth, but also to find our way of living the truth and doing what will bring life and health and joy. One close to home and quite immediate example of how God graciously brings clarity and unity of thought and action into our lives is our brother Steve Pruitt. As many of you already know, on Thursday, Steve made the great leap of faith from this life to the life beyond. He left behind a lot of grieving people who are grateful to have known Steve and shared so many wonderful times with him. Because of those wonderful times, and because of the way that Steve, even in these last days, has been articulating and living out his one true thing, Steve's friends and loved ones are able to find joy mingled in with their sorrow. Steve's one true thing was love. As far as Steve was concerned, nothing mattered more than love expressed through friendship and through family bonds. Steve had a lot of interests: cars, travel, sports, fitness, community service. His interests excited him and were very engaging for him, but the real value of those interests was that they allowed Steve to connect with people. They gave him things to do with his friends, his daughter, his church family, his significant other, the young man he was mentoring, things that would deepen their bonds and create amazing memories. Steve was a very successful businessman. He also won a lot of car races. But the message that he has been emphasizing over and over again in these last weeks and months was not drive fast or work like a maniac and make a lot of money. The thing that he has been saying over and over and over again is love your friends, love your family, stay connected, let your friends love you. Steve practiced what he preached. That's what makes the statement of his truth so powerful. He has friends stretching all the way back to his college fraternity days and even before that. Those friends, both new and old, have been calling, writing, visiting, created handmade memory books, and helped with the practical aspects of Steve's care. Their testimonies have been rolling in, speaking of Steve's humor, his playfulness, his desire to excel. One of my favorite comments was this one: Steve has beat us to the finish line again. You always have to be first, don't you, big guy? Many friends have used the word troublemaker in association with Steve, with the twinkle in their eye, hinting at times so wild that they would never dare confess them to a pastor. We know that Steve was not a boring saint. He was a real one who came to the understanding of God only fairly recently in life, when events sent him searching for the bigger picture and the deeper meaning. Becoming a friend of God was a crowning joy for Steve. As you can see in this picture that was taken not long ago in the little town of Pruitt, New Mexico, just maybe a couple months ago, Steve and Bobby took a road trip, and you know how it is sometimes. You happen into these towns with a name that totally surprises you. In this case, the town shared Steve's name. He's Steve Pruitt, right? So there he is. In case you can't read that, he's standing under the sign that says Pruitt Assembly of God, with joy on his face and a gesture of welcome in his arms. Love your friends. Love your family. Stay connected. Let your friends love you. That is one good and true thing that Steve learned in his 63 years of living, and he very much wanted that message to be passed on. True messages do get passed on. You've heard several of them today. Do something worthwhile with your life. Eating together is the whole trick. Stand up together for what is beneficial for you and for everybody. Love one another. And coming down to us through the ages with the resounding reverberation of many voices, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Since we can count ourselves among the sinners, let's join now in prayer, beginning with the words of an old hymn: My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. We let St. Jerome who lived in the 4th century, guide our prayer. O good shepherd, seek me out and bring me home to your fold again. Deal favorably with me according to your good pleasure, till I may dwell in your house all the days of my life and praise you forever and ever with all who are there. Eternal God, this prayer is our prayer, and we are mindful of all those who dwell in your house forever and ever. We feel the bonds of the Spirit with those who are gathered here, with those of our community who couldn't be here today, with other United Methodists and other people of faith in San Diego and around the world, and the bond as well with those who have gone on before into your glory and are holding the door open for us. Our hearts are grateful, and in many cases as well, filled with both joys and sorrows. And so we now allow the prayer that Jesus taught us to convey our longings to you. We say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.